This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today's episode is fast food tacos.
And this was suggested by listener Nicole. Thank you, listener Nicole.
Yes, thank you, listener Nicole. Wow. Matthew and I each just ate 4 fast food tacos.
Yeah,
and
it was a lot.
I'm feeling fine right now, but I wonder if it's going to catch up to me at some point.
It might. I was so excited to do this episode because I was like, Molly, just stop off at Taco Bell on the way here and just bring us a bag full of garbage.
And she did,
and it was great.
Yep.
I was very pleased.
I also want to just say at the top that when I went to Taco Bell, that I did not get anything that was not on the taco menu.
I think that was very dedicated.
You know,
of you.
So it means I didn't go like Crunchwrap Supreme or anything like that.
Yeah, gordita, cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah, I didn't do it. I stayed under the banner of taco.
Yeah, I watched that series on Hulu. Very disturbing.
So much chili powder.
Exactly. So why don't we take a walk down memory lane?
Okay. My memory lane is short, so okay. I want to start. You know, Taco Bell was a thing when I was a kid, but my parents, it was not one of the fast food places that my parents liked, so we kind of never went there. I maybe had Taco Bell, like soft tacos as a kid, like thanks to somebody else's parents.
Yeah, but you were afraid of the crunchy tacos because of dental emergencies?
No, my parents were anti-crunchy taco, and therefore I was too.
Because it was inauthentic?
Because of snobbery.
Okay.
Wait, I'm not done.
Yeah.
So Ash and I went backpacking, the only time we've ever gone backpacking. In the Enchantments in 2018. Are you familiar with the Enchantments?
I'm familiar with you telling me about them at the time and how it was an impressive place to go backpacking. And I don't remember where or what they are, so tell me.
Okay, so it's a part of the North Cascades. It's like spectacularly beautiful and also like highly protected. So in order to hike in and spend the night, you have to enter a lottery.
Okay.
If you just want to do a day hike, you can do that. But people love to go and hike Asgard Pass. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of this, probably because you told me about it.
Yeah, I've never done it.
And that's like a Norse mythology type of thing, right?
It is. Okay. It is. Yeah. So we did one of the like easier routes in the Enchantments in 2018, and it was around the time that I was just beginning to try edibles.
Oh, okay.
And I also, at that point, I had also never smoked weed, so the only way I had
about Colonel Mustard?
Oh, God, I forgot about Colonel Mustard. Jeez. Okay, well, fine.
That was my one chance to be like Columbo. Like, just one more thing. Like, who is this Colonel Mustard?
Well, so for those who don't remember, when I was in college, my cousins and I once smoked weed out of a pipe that belonged to, I think, my cousin's boyfriend's grandfather or something. And the pipe was named Colonel Mustard. I did not feel high then, although I got the giggles and my cousins were convinced that I was high. I don't think I was high. I think I just got the giggles because, as everyone who's listening to this podcast right now knows, I get the giggles.
Right.
All this to say, I was just doing edibles like for the first few times around the time we went to the enchantments. And I remember I took some mints that you had suggested.
Okay.
But then our friends who we were backpacking with, Riley and Chris, they brought weed chocolate. And the first day when the mints didn't do anything, I was like, hey, can I have some of your chocolate?
Sure.
It was super mosquito-y out there. We had to basically wear mosquito nets over our heads the whole time. And so the weed chocolate became really important.
Sure.
In now, getting us through the 3 days out there.
What now, could this possibly have to do with
can't
Taco
imagine,
Bell?
Right? Okay. Well, so Chris and Riley, at one point when we were sitting around in our mosquito nets feeling really high, they started talking about how great it would be if we had Taco Bell, right? Mm-hmm.
But you were in this undisturbed, perfect landscape, hundreds of miles from civilization.
You know, we had, because the mosquitoes were so bad and because we were instantly so miserable, even just hiking in, we chose a campsite that was only 3 miles from the trailer.
Okay.
So we were only 3 miles from our cars.
It still feels pretty far.
But it was pretty far when you're carrying like a 40-pound pack. So anyway, all this to say, we all vowed that as soon as we got out of there, we were hitting the nearest Taco Bell.
Perfect.
Now, the reason this is seared into my brain is because Riley and Chris made it to the Taco Bell, I think in Leavenworth or somewhere near there. They made it to the Taco Bell at like 9:59 p.m. and it was closing at 10. And
wow.
They got the fucking tacos. And Ash and I were two cars behind them. And it was closed, and we could not get our tacos.
But they literally used to use the slogan, get late at the Bell.
This one closed at 10 p.m.
That is unconscionable.
And we were starving. Everything was closed. It was terrible. And so we had to like just drive home, like just, you know, eating something from the gas station or something. But then the next day, Ash and I went straight to Taco Bell. We went to the one on Aurora and we sat in the parking lot and ate. I think we had Crunchwrap Supreme and something else. And honestly, it would have been so much better if we were still high. And
yeah,
we
that's
weren't.
Perfect, though.
We weren't still high.
I mean, almost perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, but I have never thought so much about Taco Bell as I did during that trip.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so Taco Bell was definitely one of my family's preferred fast food places when I was a kid. It was like Taco Bell, Burger King, Arctic Circle, sometimes Wendy's.
Wow, you guys went to all the places that we didn't go to.
But not McDonald's, because my mom hated it.
Yeah, no, my mom hated McDonald's, too. We went to Wendy's, and we went to Long John Silver's.
Yes, we occasionally went to Sizzler, which I know is not a fast food place, but like a fast casual. So I have lots of Taco Bell memories. I think it was probably the closest fast food place to my house growing up, and particularly was certainly the closest once I got my own car, which I did like sophomore year of high school, and could like hop in the car and like hit up the Taco Bell drive-thru. That was the taste of freedom.
And could you get tacos for like under a dollar?
Oh,
at that
God,
time?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was like 79 cents or something.
They had, for a long time, they had the $59.79 menu, and I think the crunchy tacos were either, I think they were 79.
Okay.
But it might even have been 59. Around that same time, like when I was like maybe 17, they introduced something called the Wild Big Beef Taco, which is my all-time favorite Taco Bell item. I don't know like if it ever came back, but it was like the, you know, the crunchy tacos we just had, it was like that only wider, like longer.
And had
some sort of like very red hot sauce on it.
So it was longer.
It was longer.
So it was like the tortilla was just a bigger, like larger in diameter tortilla?
Yes, but I think it may have been like oval shaped because I don't remember them being much taller, just longer.
Okay. I know, because I was going to say, there's like a certain breaking point, you know, when you try to make your taco longer, you're also making it taller. And then you wind up with like, how much are you going to stuff that thing?
How much are you going to stuff that thing? I've always asked.
Yeah.
And like, I think I was in geometry class at this time. So we probably did like a lot of taco topology. Wow.
taco topology.
I remember when they introduced the double decker taco, which I didn't like, but it was clear to me that like Taco Bell, like they're staking out their claim of like, we're going to get weird. And they just only got weirder from that point
what
forward.
What was a double decker taco?
It was literally just a regular crunchy taco that had a flour tortilla glued to the outside using refried beans.
Okay, so it wasn't that different from what we're going to talk in a minute about the double stacked taco,
right,
which we just had. That was glued together with nacho cheese,
yeah,
and had some like crispy tortilla bits inside.
So the moral is you got to choose your glue carefully.
That's right. I think that the beans, I mean, I love refried beans, uh-huh, but I think that would make for a too thick and pasty vibe.
That is exactly was my feeling about it at the time. Yeah, I do like the Taco Bell refried beans. They are so otherworldly smooth. It's like they've been passed through
a
tammy.
Would you call them, I was for some reason thinking the word surreal had bean in it. But it doesn't. Sorry. Okay. Just carry on.
But if you claimed it did, that would be a surreal claim in and of
itself,
right? Yes,
it would. It would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there other fast food tacos? Like, I don't think of other fast food taco places.
Okay, so I do have a couple others. Like, I'm going to veer off the like, pure taco path, which I know
Wait, there's Taco Bueno.
What is Taco Bueno?
Oh, Taco Bueno was in Oklahoma when I was growing up.
Okay, I think this wasn't in Portland.
Okay. There was Taco Bueno.
Yeah, so we had Taco Time, which I don't think you had in Oklahoma. I think it's a Northwest thing, or at least a West Coast thing. And that sort of stakeout sort of like, we're like the healthy-ish taco chain. So lots of like, you know, burritos with vegetables in them and stuff. Mm. But the thing I would get from Taco Time was not that. It was the crisp meat burrito, which is basically like a big meat cigar that's been deep fried. So still a big fan of that.
Sounds really good.
If I ever find myself at a Taco Time. In college, Del Taco was more accessible than Taco Bell, and so we would go to Del Taco. I did not like the taco items at Del Taco quite as much as Taco Bell, but I really liked their chicken quesadilla.
Okay.
Which I haven't had since like 1995, but is probably still good.
Okay.
So that's my memory lane. I love this stuff.
So are we mostly going to be talking about Taco Bell today?
I think so. Yeah. And of course, I didn't even like mention my biggest Taco Bell memory lane, which there used to be a Taco Bell on Broadway, like four blocks from where I live.
Uh-huh.
And like back then, like even closer to where I lived. And it closed in maybe 2004. And I think about it every day. And it had two tacos for 99 cents from like most of the time that I lived here until it closed.
What's your nearest Taco Bell?
Oh, geez. You know what it is? It is the one in Queen Anne that is the world's...
That's not close.
It's not close, although it's one bus on the number 8. And I went there like last year, maybe, just because I was really craving some Taco Bell, and did not realize at the time that the Stranger had already, the local like alternative weekly, had already done an article about it, calling it the world's most expensive Taco Bell. I think I spent $25 for lunch
Wait a minute. Hold on. Do different Taco Bells, like in different locations, do they have different prices?
They can, because they're franchises. I think they get like suggested prices from the corporate overlords, but they can disregard.
Oh.
So how much were the crunchy tacos?
Our total was around $20. Okay,
this was under $21 for plenty of food for two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so this is a three beef crunchy taco that was $5.97, so $2 each. At the Queen Anne one, the last time I went, they were $4 each, so
no!
Twice as much.
Wow. Okay.
It was wild. On the other hand, like, it's fine. I can afford it.
That's so interesting, though. I mean, I hope that they are... also using better ingredients, or I don't know. Like,
no, they're not using different ingredients.
Oh, fine. When you have a Taco Bell franchise, do they just send you all the Taco Bell stuff?
I think that is how the franchise works. Yeah, you have to order from like.
So it's like a HelloFresh box.
It's like a HelloFresh box in the sense that it gets delivered to your building lobby and sits around there for 4 days, and then someone throws it out.
Okay.
Man, This box is sitting around in my lobby. It doesn't have it that much anymore. I think there was maybe like one person who was like a repeat offender, but that made me so mad.
Yeah, no, that's very upsetting.
So would you like to hear a little bit about the history of Taco Bell?
I sure would.
It's corporate history time.
Yay!
Okay, so most of what I learned about Taco Bell's history came from a couple of different sources. Gustavo Arellano's book, Taco USA, which is a very good book about the history of Mexican food in the U.S.
Okay.
An Eater article that we'll link to, and Taco Bell's only website, which has a weirdly forthcoming...
You just said Taco Bell's only website.
Taco Bell's only website. The you only know, website taco, they've ever had.
Most tacos.
Yeah, you would think each taco would have its own website. Yeah, no, you get the taco. There's like a QR code printed on the shell. You scan it. It takes you to that taco's website, which some of which are like very dirty.
Anyway, but so Taco Bell's own website
is what I meant to say. Okay. So Glenn Bell was a restaurateur who had a burger and hot dog stand across the street from a well-known Mexican restaurant called Mitla Cafe, mm-hmm. Which is still open in the same location in San Bernardino, California.
Wow. Okay.
Mitla Cafe was famous for tacos dorados, which I've occasionally made at home, which is it's a crunchy taco that is made by wrapping a corn tortilla around the beef and sometimes the cheese, but in their case, they don't put the cheese in before they fry, and then they pan fry the taco.
So you roll up a corn tortilla with the stuff inside.
You fold it.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
So it is the shape of like a what you think of as like a, you know, crunchy American taco, but they're not using a pre-made taco shell.
Okay.
And then they're served with shredded lettuce and shredded cheddar.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It absolutely is. And if you look at photos of the tacos dorados from Mitla Cafe, they look very similar to Taco Bell crunchy tacos.
Okay.
See where I'm going with this? So Glenn Bell was a fan of Mitla Cafe, and the owners apparently showed him how to make tacos dorados in the 1940s.
And boy, do they wish they hadn't.
Yes. So then, naturally, Glenn Bell opened his own taco stand called Taco Tia in San Bernardino in 1951. He experimented with different names and concepts for over a decade and then opened the first Taco Bell in Downey, California in 1962. I could not figure out why Downey, California, which is very far from San Bernardino.
Okay.
But I guess he was opening taco places like in different area codes, like Ludacris style.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was like a taco bandit. Like he was just taking ideas and running up and down California with them.
He was like all these fast food guys, like, you know, appropriation and marketing was what he did best.
Yeah. Cause to be clear, this is a white guy.
This is a white guy. Okay. Yes. So a couple of choice tidbits from the Taco Bell website, AKA Taco Bell's only website. They have a timeline of Taco Bell corporate history. I'm going to read a few entries. 1951, Glenn Bell, inspired by friends and neighbors at Mitla Cafe, creates his own version of the crunchy taco. I thought it was weird that they mentioned the cafe that he stole the idea from.
Maybe there was a lawsuit. Wait, but I have a question. Okay, so we did a Crunchy Tacos episode, right?
Right.
Didn't we?
Did we do this whole thing already?
Well, no, not that I remember, but... Well, I guess what I was going to ask answers your question in that I don't think I've ever known before this that crunchy tacos were invented or in the form we know them by Glenn Bell.
Well, I mean, they're not that different from the ones that he stole from the restaurant across the street.
But the idea of like a product that comes already
That's a good question.
A product that comes already crunchy and ready to be stuffed.
I don't know if that part can be attributed to Glenn Bell or not. You would think I would. I mean,
I would think you would know that.
You would think I would know this, but yeah. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
So 1951. Now we fast forward to 1964. Retired L.A. policeman Kermit Becky becomes Taco Bell's first franchisee, opening a restaurant in Torrance, California.
Kermit Becky.
I only put this on because his name was Kermit Becky.
Okay, but I love this because I'm picturing
somebody
named Becky. Like, I don't know, like merging with Kermit.
I'm picturing friend of the show Becky selling it, like in a Kermit suit, doing a Kermit voice. Becky, can you call into the show and do your best Kermit voice?
Please.
And we will reward you with a Taco Bell franchise. 1997, as the new parent of Taco Bell, Tricon declares its independence from the PepsiCo conglomerate.
What? I'm sorry. Is this the history of war, or is this corporate history?
This is like it sounds like a Skynet type of like Terminator type of situation, right?
Tricon declares its independence from the PepsiCo conglomerate.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that probably like kicked off like a very violent conflict, right?
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure that the U.S. was like supplying the PepsiCo conglomerate with weapons.
I think you're right.
And Oliver North.
Oliver North was definitely involved. Like Kermit Becky had to testify before Congress. 2017, Taco Bell released its first ever retail collaboration, Forever 21 times Taco Bell. The men's collection completely sold out online within the first day. I have no further information about this. Nope.
Any of the looks?
Nope, didn't look up any of the looks. Don't know what happened to the women's collection. Sounds like it didn't go so well.
Okay.
That's all the history you need to know.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's talk about the food. So it seems that Taco Bell was sort of, or its flagship product maybe, has always been the crunchy taco.
Yeah, although nowadays I think maybe the flagship product is the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Do you know when the Crunchwrap Supreme came to be? I mean, we didn't eat one today because it's not on the
tacos
menu.
It's not on the tacos menu. Okay, I'm looking up Crunchwrap Supreme. It's our Googling stuff segment. Okay, I mistyped it and I typed Crunch E and the first thing that came up is Cruncheroos, breakfast cereal made by Kellogg's. Sounds like it's half breakfast cereal, half underwear. Oh, shit.
It does. Cruncheroos.
It's like crunchy underwear. Crunch wrap.
Mine get
Supreme.
That way just when I wear them for more than one day.
Yeah, sure. Crunch wrap Supreme year. That's what I'm going to Google. I love how Google fixes my spelling because what I wrote was Crunch Tap Supreme. 2005. The Crunchwrap Supreme becomes Taco Bell's most successful product introduction and becomes a permanent menu addition in January 2006.
Can you remind me what a Crunchwrap Supreme is?
A Crunchwrap Supreme is like a burrito that has a layer of like hexagonal taco shell and is then like folded up into a hexagon and pressed on a griddle.
Okay.
So it's like a hexagonal burrito-ish thing with a crunchy layer.
Okay. I can see why that would be popular.
Yeah, I mean, there like I think like probably your favorite Taco Bell item is going to be like the one you grew up with or ate the most of in college, and the Crunchwrap Supreme was a little after my time.
Okay.
As well as like the cheesy Gordita Crunch, which I'm not going to Google, but was sometime after that.
I did have a Crunchwrap Supreme that day after the backpacking trip, but I think that. Maybe the atmosphere was just wrong.
Yeah, and I need to talk about the Doritos Locos Tacos in the history segment, but that was another very successful launch for them.
Okay.
Like, I think they're okay.
Yeah, I didn't love it. We'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, so the thing I've always wondered since I was a child about Taco Bell food, and I didn't really get like a definitive answer, is why on the crunchy taco, which when I was a kid, by the way, was just called a taco. Like, they only started calling it crunchy taco maybe in like the 90s or 2000s.
Sorry, I was reading about the first item here on this part of the agenda.
So when I was a kid, the crunchy taco was just called a taco.
Oh, okay.
And they added crunchy to the name like sometime in like the 90s or 2000s.
Okay. And so at that point, was there just like taco and soft taco?
There was just taco and soft taco. And they were friends.
Yeah. Okay.
But then Crunchy Taco started like hanging with a different crowd, took on the nickname Crunchy.
Well, yeah. Whatever.
All right. So I always wondered why they put the lettuce on before the cheese. Because doesn't it seem like it would be better if the cheese got a little melty down
in
there?
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, there are two reasons.
Okay.
One is it makes, like, because the lettuce, like, is very cheap and can be used as a filler, it makes the whole thing kind of look more generous because, like, you got this big layer of cheese that seems to be pouring out of the taco. Mm-hmm. And so you mentally, you sort of imagine there must be, like, a lot of meat and cheese in there, and also there's a lot of lettuce.
I like that it is done the way it is because I feel like, so when the cheese melts, it gets a slightly different flavor, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And especially when it melts up against the meat, they kind of become like one, or the flavors are more melded. But when you have the cheese on top of the lettuce, so the cheese doesn't really melt, I find that I taste the meat, the lettuce, and the cheese in their separate flavors. And I really like that.
Yeah, no, when I was a kid, I really resented the fact that they didn't put the cheese close to the meat. I think I've come around. I think I agree with you now.
Okay.
But speaking of things becoming one, have you seen the video of Eddie Vedder singing the U2 song One at the Kennedy Center Honors?
No.
It's so good. It's from like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a song about meat and cheese melding inside a crunchy shell.
Yeah, becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they're not the same.
Great. Can we link to it in the show notes?
We can link to it in the show notes. Okay. I found it profoundly moving, to be honest. Eddie Vedder, like, is such a good singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you cry a little bit?
I cried a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's like the first like 12 times I watched the Stevie Nicks singing the Wild Heart demo.
Yeah, there you go.
Man. Wow. All right.
Other things about Taco Bell food. Lori was always a big fan of the bean burrito with green sauce, which you can no longer get because they discontinued green sauce in 2016. But then I saw they brought it back in some locations in 2022. So I don't know what the current status is.
Was the green sauce like a packet of sauce?
There was also a verde sauce that was in a packet, but I think that was a little different from the green sauce that they had like a squirter of in the kitchen.
Okay. All right.
We didn't talk about how they apply things in the Taco Bell kitchen with like a gun that they have. They have like a device that like shoots sour cream and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know like what all gets dispensed that way, but it is like pretty gross.
Yeah. No, that sounds terrible.
But efficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You wrote here that when you were a teenager, you would get the 6-pack of tacos.
Yeah.
And so did they come in like did they have like, you know, mm-hmm. the little plastic ring around their necks and you had to snip it so that ducks wouldn't die?
I think it was turtles, right?
Whatever.
Dolphins. No, they did not come in a 6-pack like a 6-pack of brewskis. They came in like a little cardboard lunchbox, which was so satisfying.
Oh, that's so great.
And like I ate 4 tacos today and that was a lot. I'm feeling it. Like the fact that I used to frequently eat 6 of those boggles my mind.
I'm not feeling it yet.
Okay. That's good.
This sounds like we've taken some edibles.
Yeah.
We're okay. Like, are you feeling it yet?
Yeah. You eat some Taco Bell. Uh-huh. After like an hour, you start feeling it and then you get hungry for more Taco Bell. That's how they get you.
Yep. Okay. So what about the sauces? Because today you asked me to get the fire sauce. How does that, like, what are the sauces and where does fire rank?
So I think the current sauces are mild, hot, fire, and Diablo. Like, I haven't like tasted them side by side in a while. Diablo is like stunt hot sauce, which is pretty spicy as far as like a sauce you would get.
I felt like fire was like between mild and medium.
Yeah, fire sauce is not very spicy. I don't know how fire and hot compare. I feel like the fire sauce is sort of viscous in a way that I appreciate.
Oh, okay.
And the packets are very hard to open cleanly. They're not any different from like ketchup packets, but like it's not a great packaging design.
Do you ever go to Taco Time?
Yeah, and I still, not very often, but there's one in Wallingford. Is that one still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
On
and
45th.
I will usually get the crispy meat burrito, aka the fried meat cigar.
Okay. So
have you ever had one of those?
No.
It is punishingly rich, but very satisfying.
It means that I could probably take it down just fine.
I think so.
Because I have more of a rich tooth than you.
I have a rich tooth, I think. I have like one of those gold
tooths. But I feel like I can stomach more richness.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go. Okay. Let's go to Taco Time and we're gonna have like a contest to see who can eat the most meat cigars.
Okay. Gross. Okay, are there other fast food tacos we need to talk about?
Okay, so we need to talk about, I already mentioned Del Taco.
Wait, wouldn't it be funny if taco was spelled T-A-L-K-O?
Like we got to talk about these tacos?
Like we're talking about tacos.
It said something on the Taco Bell website about how when Taco Bell was first opened, they had to educate customers into not calling them tacos.
Ooh.
But I don't know how I feel about that whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it would be funny if they were called tacos. Like if you live back in the silent film era, like probably some people called them talkies, but if you were like a cool like daddy, you
called them tacos.
You'd call them tacos.
Okay.
Go see the tacos. I want to see that one where I get run over by the train and never gets old.
Go on.
Okay, so there's Del Taco, which is now owned by Jack in the Box, which has nothing to do with the food they serve. I just thought it was interesting. I haven't been to Del Taco in a long time. I have been to Jack in the Box, though. Have you ever had the Jack in the Box two tacos for 99 cents?
No. The only thing I've ever had from Jack in the Box was when you and I went, didn't we?
I think we got chicken fingers
or something?
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, it was onion rings? Was it when we were doing the onion rings episode?
There we go.
Okay,
I've also had Jack in the Box milkshakes.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Jack in the Box, like, I don't think their food is very good. I mean, like, who can say? Like, I don't want to yuck anyone's Jack in the Box yum. I think they do a really good job of making their food seem appealing on TV commercials, which is kind of the whole point.
I often wonder why do some of these, like, sort of lesser fast food chains exist? Like, Jack in the Box isn't doing anything interesting that other fast food places aren't doing.
Well,
are
but they have, like, their own weird shit that they do, like, I don't know, like, two flavors of chicken nuggets in the same box, or, like you know, a burger with, like, something you didn't expect on it, or, like, a really tall burger or something. You know, they're in, like, the stunt food arena.
Okay, fine.
But yeah, like I think you know, competition is tough, and who knows if Jack in the Box can go the distance. Anyway, they have these two tacos for 99 cents that are considered like a drunk food.
Okay.
And I've only had them a couple times. I'm not fond of them myself, but I can see, and I never get drunk, but I can see how they could be appealing in that context, or like if you just want something really cheap and filling. The thing I think is funny about the Jack in the Box tacos, which as far as I can tell are like fried with the cheese and lettuce inside.
What?
And it's American cheese.
Oh, okay.
There is like a long running, I say debate, but there is no real debate about whether they are vegetarian.
Hasn't somebody just tested them to
find
out?
Yeah, they're not. They're like some amount of meat stretched with a lot of textured vegetable protein. Where I think this comes from is like probably you're a vegetarian, you get drunk, you're like, I want some of those tacos. Like, let's just pretend there's no meat in there. And like, so people are still talking about this in 2024, even though like it's been debunked forever.
Hold on. So is it like beef plus TVP?
Mm-hmm. So which is true of the Taco Bell beef also, but
really?
It's more beef. Yeah, there was a lawsuit years ago claiming, like a class action lawsuit claiming that Taco Bell beef was only 33% beef, and Taco Bell won the case. They proved in court that it was actually like 88% beef. I wrote it on here somewhere.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was actually 88% beef.
It never occurred to me that it wasn't beef.
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh, okay, all right. Anything else we should say about these things?
I don't know. Like, I think kind of the thing people always say that is definitely true for me is like, it's not Mexican food. It scratches a totally different itch, but I have always had a soft spot for these things and still really like them.
You've always had that itch.
I've always had that itch.
You know, well, I ate these too fast in like a real blur of shredded cheese, but I think that there's a case to be made for this being a really well-engineered food product.
I think so, too.
I don't know. Like, if I had to name one of the things we ate today as a perfectly engineered food product, I don't know. Maybe the crunchy taco?
That's always been my favorite.
It's pretty fantastic. But yeah, it's not like going out to a Mexican restaurant or even a Tex-Mex place. Like it has its own kind of, I almost said corporate flavor. It has its own sort of industrial flavor.
It does. You know, one thing I like about the crunchy taco is, and this has been true like since I was a kid, I like when it gets a little soggy down at the bottom, like it's been sitting around, like, you know, like your friend was so kind as to stop off at Taco Bell and like bring crunchy tacos to your house. I like the contrast between the part of the shell that was touching the meat and got a little soggy mm-hmm. versus the part that wasn't and still crunchy. I love that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very satisfying.
It really is. Oh, well, okay. That was tasty.
It was tasty. Molly, do you have any spilled mail?
We do. This one is also a meaty topic that involves chili powder.
Okay.
Okay. So today's spilled mail is from listener Megan. And she says, you forgot Cincinnati chili, which is chili on top of spaghetti, on the spaghetti episode. Although, to be fair, maybe Cincinnati chili deserves to be forgotten. I'm not from Cincinnati, but I'm married to someone who is, and even he will admit that it's kind of gross. I'm assuming that she means Cincinnati is kind of gross. Okay. I'm from New Mexico, where we have Frito pie, which is, of course, New Mexican-style chili on top of Fritos. And my husband also thinks that is gross, so maybe this is just not his kind of food. So, a question. Is there a regional food from the Pacific Northwest or Oklahoma that you like, but the people who are not from that area find weird or gross? I don't think I've ever met someone outside of the Cincinnati area who really loves chili spaghetti. And a side note, I've started saving the podcast for the weekly drive to piano with my 10-year-old, and it is our new favorite part of the week. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, this is a great question. Have you ever had Cincinnati chili? I have not.
I have not.
I feel like I would only like try
Skyline
it.
Skyline Diner?
Right.
Is that it?
I like, if I were in Cincinnati, I would definitely want to try it. And I imagine I would probably like it. It's like a chili with like, you know, sort of like Middle Eastern spicing, like very like thin chili on top of spaghetti, then topped with a bunch of cheese and onions. I think that sounds good.
I have been to Cincinnati and I just, having never been a big chili person,
right.
I instead went for the ice cream in Cincinnati.
Is there like special Cincinnati ice cream?
Well, Grater's. Which okay. actually maybe is from Columbus. Yeah, or no, Jenny's
like a
is from Columbus.
Four-way ice cream, like with cheese.
I think Grater's is from Cincinnati.
That sounds right to me.
I don't know. But anyway, at that time.
It's called Grater's because of the cheese that they grate
would
on.
You stop it? Okay, Matthew, what about like regional foods here that people outside the area might think?
Okay, so I really enjoy it. So in Seattle, we have a dish called teriyaki that is generally like a grilled chicken thigh.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about this like people don't know what it is? Do you think people don't?
I think people don't know what Seattle teriyaki is. I think people know what teriyaki sauce is.
Oh, Seattle teriyaki is just a Seattle thing?
It's a Seattle thing and a sort of a Portland thing under a different name. There's a chain in New York City that serves sort of a Seattle style teriyaki, so maybe it's more well known.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Tell me what
Seattle
style.
And it's probably like a thing you can get at like a sushi place in other places, but it's not the same dish. So
okay,
so
what is it?
Seattle style teriyaki is usually grilled chicken thigh that's been sliced, kind of thick sliced, and served with rice and a very sweet teriyaki sauce made pretty much from soy sauce and sugar.
Okay.
And then it's served with some sort of perfunctory salad
okay.
on the side. And is like a hearty lunch dish usually. And when I tell people from Japan about this, they think it is the wildest thing.
Because of the sweetness?
Of the sweetness and the way that it's like served in like a giant American portion and that you don't like grab for lunch in Japan something with teriyaki. It's just more of like a thing you would make at home or like get at a sit down restaurant. Like it is usually fish.
Oh yeah, okay. So how would teriyaki appear in Japan? It would be the protein would be fish generally?
So like one of my favorite things I will order anytime I see buri no teriyaki. Buri is yellowtail, and so it's like a thick piece of yellowtail that's been sauteed and then like sauced with a teriyaki sauce made from soy sauce and mirin.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So not as sweet, not like super saucy, but okay. but just like, you know, very like salty, like tangy and a little bit sweet sauce.
I think the only time I've ever eaten Seattle teriyaki is when we got some at some point for some show.
Okay.
Right? Am I correct that part of the flavor profile of Seattle teriyaki is the like sort of char flavor on
Absolutely,
the chicken?
Yes.
And is it usually cooked like on a gas grill or
I think it's usually cooked on a gas grill. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know, I couldn't really think of anything. Mm-hmm. I will say that I've lived all this time in Seattle and have managed to avoid lutefisk.
Yeah, that's a thing that I've never had it. Like, I've only sort of heard it as a punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there are people who really like it, of course.
Well, and I mean, it's so Seattle has a large, or at least at one time had a notably large Scandinavian population. In the neighborhood that I live in, Ballard, that is sort of the old Scandinavian neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like when I go to Wild Salmon Seafood Market or whatever, I mean, they sell lutefisk.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I've always heard it as a punchline and have never tried it.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably like a thing you had to grow up with,
yeah.
Or like, you know, be like introduced to at like a certain impressionable age.
Mm-hmm. As for Oklahoma, the only thing I could think of is chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if people outside of Oklahoma think it sounds gross, but it definitely sounds bizarre. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing I knew about as a kid and would sometimes eat in college at the dining hall. I'm sure it wasn't a very good example of it.
I don't know that I've ever had a good example of it.
Yeah.
But I did not have it much growing up because, again, my parents were not from Oklahoma and thought it seemed weird. And the other thing is I feel like it's almost like a contradiction in terms. Like, we think of steak as being, I think, like an expensive meat or a meat that is cooked and served in a precise way.
Sure.
Right? Like, we cook it to a particular temperature, even if you like it well done. Like, and so the idea of taking like a particular cut of steak or a particular steak and breading it and deep frying it.
It's made with cubed steak, right?
Right, which I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, so it's not like what we're, it's not like a ribeye we're talking
it's
about
It's not like
here.
A ribeye.
No, it's not. And it's quite thin.
But what if it was?
But
what if it was
if
a
it
ribeye?
Was? I mean, that would be
What if it was like a T-bone steak?
I just don't think
Someone's done it.
Somebody's definitely done it. Anyway, it's just it's a weird concept. I have eaten it and I do like it, but
yeah.
It's neither like fried chicken nor like steak, but it's called both.
It's one of those dishes where they really nailed the name.
Yeah. Cuz
like you're not going to forget that name once you're when you're a kid. You're like, chicken fried steak? What is it? Chicken? Is it steak? Like, hopefully it's both.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. It's just steak.
Well, that was a really great question, listener Megan.
It was.
Thank you. Well, host Matthew, let's thank producer Abby.
Thank you, producer Abby. We were recently reminiscing with producer Abby. It's approximately her 10th anniversary as producer Abby.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did we get a date on that?
Sometime in February, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. So it's passed by the time you hear this. I mean, like, she hasn't passed. She's still with us. I hope.
I mean, I hope.
God.
Matthew. Abby,
well,
you should edit this
say,
part out.
I was going to say, Abby, edit this part out, but it's like, I don't care if everybody else hears it. I don't want Abby to hear it.
No.
So, oh well, too late.
Okay. Well, you can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And hang out with other listeners at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com where you can share your fast food taco memories.
Thanks for listening to me.
and thank you also for listening to me. I'm Kermit.
And I'm Becky.
I'm Kermit. Did I do a Kermit?
And no, I'm Becky.
Not really. Bye.
No, bye. Wait a minute. I can now only hear out of one ear.
I just tugged on something.
How many ears can I hear out of now?
I'm going to say three.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.